Outside, but I'm glad it's warm on the inside. I'm glad the Spirit of God knows what we need and when we need it and how we need it. I'm glad when the wind blows, we can feel it. You say, well, I thought salvation wasn't a thing of feelings. I'm glad when we can feel it. I thank God that He come by my way, April 8, 1998, and saved my soul. I praise Him for that. If you have your Bible this morning, be finding the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. I'm going to look at a few verses that I find that's been down deep in my heart. I listened to some CDs, and it's burnt me up about this, about one little text and one little thing. You know, I've listened to CDs about forgiveness and unforgiveness and what to do with that. And God smote my heart about a little word called bitterness. Bitterness. And you say, well, I don't struggle with that. You better be careful by what you say you don't struggle with, because the devil, but be sure that by the sun, the time the sun goes down, you're struggling with it. And I found in my life a lot of times I don't do the things in the right spirit because of bitterness. We may do it. If I looked around this building and took a survey of everybody in here and looked at you, probably 99% of us do the things the right way, but we don't do it with the right spirit. We don't do it with the right things that are inside of us. And like God is wanting us to do it so that we can be a light to the world around us, so that people can see something different inside of us that they don't see in the world around us. I want to see what the book of Hebrews says. And it's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. We'll begin reading in verse number 12. It says this, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest they which be lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If I had to outline the book of Hebrews, I'd outline it this three ways. I'd say the first thing that we'd see would be the demands of the Christian race. He said, he starts off the book of Hebrews saying, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But he said, you got to lay aside some things. You got to lay aside some sin. You got to lay aside some weights. And this thing I'll be talking about can become a very weight to your very soul. And it began to choke you out of the race. Not only the demands of the race, you'll see the discipline of the Christian race. He begins off in verses 5 through 12 talking about chastening. And we know that there's discipline in the Christian race. And if you've been in this thing long enough, if you ever had a whooping or a spanking from God, you'll never forget it. It'll be God, if you're one of His, I'm going to tell you what He's going to do. He's going to chasten you if you get outside of His will. If you do something wrong, the Spirit of God has smote your heart. It'll do things to you that only He can do. And it won't take, some of you need to, like my son, I can look at him and it doesn't mean anything to him. I have to basically wear him out, is what I call it. I can't just look at him and make him do what I want him to do. I basically have to take the paddle and everything I've got to make him do what we want him to do. And let me tell you what, God, He can look His eye at me and He can smote my heart just by one word, one little thought, one little thing in my mind. He can smite my heart and chasten me by that. Because, see, God knows what we need, and He's a Heavenly Father. And your Father knew what you needed when you was living at home. But how much more does your Heavenly Father know what you need and when you need it? The discipline of the Christian race. But the last thing I want us to, if you closed out this book of Hebrews from verse 12 all the way down to verse number 29, it would be about dangers of the Christian race. He begins to talk about the dangers of the Christian race. And most of us in here are doing what we're supposed to do. But let me tell you, when you get down to this danger part, we have to be very careful. I do feel that we need to explain verse number 15 very good, because it says this, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. I want you to know that word fail, the grace of God, does not mean you can lose your salvation. You must read this whole chapter in context. He's talking about the Christian race. He's talking about those who are called out. He's talking about those who are being chastened, those who are sons of God and have done wrong. Let me tell you, we have to look at the dangers of the Christian race. You cannot lose your salvation. Let me tell you, once you're in the family, you're in there. July the 9th, 1978, I got born into a family. It was the Mangrum family. And nobody can take me out of that family. No matter what happens to me, no matter if I do something wrong, don't matter if I go off and get out of the will of God, there can nobody take me out of the Mangrum family. I will bear this name that I carry until the day I die. But let me tell you this, April 8, 1998, I got born into a different family. And I'll carry that name even after I die. It'll never die out. It's the family of God. And if you're in it this morning, you ought to raise your hands and shout the victory, saying, I'm glad I'm in the family of God. I'm glad I'm called of God. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. But let me tell you what, there's dangers in the Christian race that we have to be careful about. The dangers of the Christian race. Let me say this, you cannot fail from the grace, you may fail from the grace of God. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about spiritual failure. You see, we get in this thing and we talk about grace and we love to hear about grace. But let me tell you, with great grace comes great responsibility. You see, God didn't just save you by grace. He's keeping you by grace, and then by that we owe him a lot of stuff. You see, there's always responsibilities that come with grace. You see, there's things I do because I'm a Christian that I didn't do before I was a Christian. You see, I'm here today reading from a King James Bible because there's things that God has put in my life, and I do it because I'm a Christian. You'll see the danger. Grace is free, but grace always comes with responsibility. You see, Jesus didn't go down on the cross so that we could just be saved. He's prepared a home for us in heaven. But let me tell you what, I owe him something because of that grace. And this word I'm talking about to you this morning, this thing of bitterness, is something that you owe him to get out of your life. You see, this thing of bitterness is like a poison. It'll eat you up, but not only will it eat you up, it'll eat up everybody that's around you. You see, it comes into our homes, it comes into our hearts, it comes into our hands a lot of times, and we don't know how to deal with it. And you say, well, I'm not hurting nobody but myself. I beg to differ for you, because you hurt everybody that's around you, everybody that you come in contact with. People on your job know when you're bitter. People in your church know when you're bitter. People in your very home know when you're bitter, and they know when they can turn it off and turn it on. Let me tell you what, this thing of bitterness will eat you up. It will choke you out. I want you to look what he said in the second part of verse 15. He said, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That word defiled means contaminated. That means it's got poison in it. And it means it can get in our very depths of our heart and into our soul, and it begins to affect everybody. I remember going to church with a lady, and I watched her. I thought, man, she's a godly woman. And I watched this thing of bitterness take her down. I watched her. I remember one time we was walking through the church, and she had become so bitter that it was raining on the outside, and she had vacuumed the church, and we'd walk through the church to keep from going out in the rain, and she got mad at us because we walked through the church. And I was like, it's raining on the outside. But she became so bitter at the little things. Let me tell you what, the devil will take little things, and he'll plant that seed down in you. And those little seeds that he's planted and that become in our life, if we're not careful, he'll put the miracle grow on it, and they'll begin to root up, and they'll begin to spring up, as the Bible said, and begin to trouble us and become to make us contaminated. And everybody we touch and everybody we come in contact with, we put a little poison in them. A little poison in that one. A little poison in that one until we're eat up with bitterness, and then all the people that's around us are eat up with it themselves. I want you to see, first of all, the origination of bitterness. You see, there's a couple of things I see about bitterness of where it originates from. The first thing I want to say, it originates from my hurt. You see, the seed of bitterness always comes from my hurt. You see, and there's things about this hurt that we see about it that the hurt may be intentional. Many of us in here today may have been hurt by an intentional hurt, where people deliberately came to you and did something to you to hurt you. And today you may be in here and be bitter about that. And be very. It reminds me of a story. There was a lady that got bit by a raccoon. She went to the doctor, and the doctor said, he ran all these tests on her, and he tried to give her the results. And he said, I'll tell you what you got. He said, you got rabies. And immediately the lady began to write down. She got out her pen, she got out her paper, and she began to write. And the doctor said, what are you doing, writing out your will? He said, no, sir. He said, I'm writing out all the people I'm going to bite. And that's what we do. That's what happens to us when we get bitterness. We make out that list. And I say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go bite that person. I'm going to bite that person. I'm going to put my teeth in that person. And let me tell you what it does. It all originates from a hurt that comes inside of us. The hurt may be intentional. The second thing, the hurt may be unintentional. You see, the only thing bad about getting hurt is to hurt somebody you never intended to hurt. And I tell you who we hurt. We hurt the people that we love the most. The people that's around us. The people we work beside. The people that we're real close to. The people we get up every morning and we see. We hurt those people the most. And I began to think about it. You know, the people that I hurt the most are the ones I've always loved the most. And I would do more for them than I would for anybody else that I know of. But I tell you what I do. I hurt them the most. It may be unintentional. Turn in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 19. I want you to see this. Just hold your place there in Hebrews. But turn over to Deuteronomy, chapter number 19, and look at verse number 4. I want you to see what they did in the Old Testament days on unintentional hurts, things that were just an accident. You see, there's things that we say that we don't really, that we don't put any thought behind that may hurt somebody that's around us, and it may make that person become very bitter about us. This is what they did in the book of Deuteronomy. This is talking about the cities of refuge, those three cities that they could find, that if something happened to them, they could flee to those cities and they could have refuge. And it says this in Deuteronomy 19 and 4. It says, "This is the case of the slayer, which shall flee thither that he may live. Whosoever killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and a head slippeth from off the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee into one of those cities and live." You know what it's talking about there? It's talking about two men that was in the woods cutting down a tree. And as he was chopping on that tree, that axe head flew off and it hit his neighbor, and his neighbor died. It didn't mean he didn't want to kill his neighbor. The Bible said, whom he hateth not in time past. He didn't hate him. He was there working beside him. Let me tell you what he could do. He could go into this city of refuge. The hurt was unintentional. The hurt didn't mean it was accidental. He didn't mean to kill his neighbor. But let me tell you what, a lot of times you may be hurt, and it may be unintentional hurt. You see, a lot of times in my own life, I thought about this, and I thought, man, that was, people have hurt me. And the devil said, well, that was intentional. But guess what? It was unintentional. They didn't ever mean to hurt me. And they didn't mean to say that. And the way that we perceive a lot of things, the devil would love to take something that somebody said and twist it up and in your mind say they're against me. They're not going with me, but they're now against me. People that was right by my side, my very neighbor, my very wife, my very kid that I grew up with, the one I raised, is now bitter against me because of something I said or something I did. And we take it out way outside and the devil twists that in our mind. It's unintentional. You see, these cities of refuge was defined because of that, because they knew there'd be accidents that would happen. There would be things that would happen in their life, and they could flee to these cities and live. And you say, well, what happened to the ones that did it intentionally? It says that in verse number 11 in that same chapter. It said, "But if a man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally, that he die and fleeth into one of these cities," said this, "then the elders of the city shall send for him thence and deliver him up in the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee." And there's intentional hurts, but there's unintentional hurts as well. Let me tell you what. Somebody may have hurt you this morning, but don't take it bitter. Don't let that thing sit down inside of you. But see, each one of those hurts that you get is a seed that's planted inside of you. And a lot of us from years ago have had seeds planted inside of us, and they're just waiting to hatch out, and they're waiting to do things inside of our life. You say, when will it affect me? I don't know. I came down here a couple of weeks ago, and my pastor was preaching, and this thing was all in me. And I came down, and I prayed on the altar. I said, "Lord, search me out. See if there be any bitterness in me." You know why? Because I want to kill it before it gets so choked around my heart that I can't get it outside of me. You see, this thing will destroy a church. This thing will destroy a family. This thing will destroy a home. It'll destroy your job. It'll destroy all around you. And if it's not taken care of at the very seed of it, will destroy everything that you ever were and ever will be. The thing, the origination of bitterness. not only may it be intentional or unintentional, it may be imagined. You say, what do you mean? The book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 27 says this, neither give place to the devil. You say, what do you mean? It could be imagined. Well, let me tell you this. Think about this. Let's say the preacher didn't come to you today and shake your hand. And you got your best suit on. You got your new shoes on. And you got everything. And he didn't have time. But in your mind, you imagine that he said in his heart that he didn't come to shake your hand. And you say, well, that's bad enough. Let's say it happened again the next week. It's imagined. He's got nothing against what you've got on. He's got nothing against what you're doing. But in your heart, you've imagined that. And a lot of times we imagine hurts that are not really there. And let me tell you what it does. It becomes a seed of bitterness. And things that happen between a husband and a wife, it happens to them. And that seed of bitterness gets planted. And then a wall becomes to get built up. And then the wall cannot be broken down very easily. The seed of bitterness. Not only do you say it could be imagined, it could be instructional. You see, God, if you read before these verses, He talks about chastening. And some of us have been chastened by the hand of God. And you may become bitter of God because of something that He's chastened you for. But let me tell you what, He never chastened us. He always chastened us for our good. It said that it may yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Let me tell you why God chastens you, so you yield fruit. You see, there, when we get out of this thing and we go to heaven, we're saved. Let me tell you what He wants us to do. He wants us to have fruit on our account. As, not only as a church, but as personal, as an individual. You see, this thing of bitterness is all individual. It starts out personal. And I had to start with myself. A couple of weeks ago, I sat down and I said, Lord, if there's any bitterness in me, take it out of me. Rid me from it. Take it far from me. But see, it starts personal, but it can spread out very easily. I went to cut my yard this week and I noticed there was weeds everywhere. I mean, my yard was purple. Where it once was green, all this winter and all this other stuff and all this in lack of care that I've done throughout the winter, guess what? It was all purple and it was all full of weeds. Let me tell you what, it didn't start as a whole. It started very small and it spread. And this thing of bitterness will always do that. It'll start with the smallest thing, the very littlest thing, and it'll begin to spread. And not taking care of it at first sight, you know what will happen? It'll spread to where you can't control it. You see, now I'm going to have to do a lot of work on my yard. I'm going to have to put fertilizer down. I'm going to have to put weed killer down. I'm going to have to do all kinds of things because I didn't take care of it when it first started. And that's the way the bitterness is. It gets in us, and it becomes very small, and then we don't take care of it. And little things little hurts that we had that was unintentional, the ones that were unintentional, the ones that are imagined, are now so big that the snowball has began to roll, and we can't stop it. This thing of bitterness, the origination of bitterness, it starts with a seed of bitterness as a hurt. Let me tell you what, it starts as a soil of bitterness from our heart. You see, the heart is, Jeremiah said it this way, he said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. See, Dr. Phil and Oprah and all these other TV boys, you know what they do? They say, follow your heart. Yeah. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't follow your heart. You know why? Your heart, you know what it does? It hatches evil thoughts straight up into your mind, and your mind goes and acts on the thoughts that you've had. Right. Don't follow your heart unless it lines up with this. See, Matthew said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, so if your treasure's in heavenly things, I don't mind you following your heart. But let me tell you what, if your heart's in carnal things and the things of this world, don't be following your heart. You see, that there's so many people following people today because their heart has turned to it, but it may not be the right cause. I sat down with a guy yesterday, and he was talking about cults and all those things that, you know, I don't know how in the world he got off on that subject. But let me tell you what, the heart is easily deceived. And people follow the wrong things. They get away from the truth of God. They get away from the Bible, and they follow their heart. Let me tell you what the heart God talks about. You know what it is? It's not this thing inside of you that's pumping blood all throughout your body. Your heart is your innermost being that has connection to your soul. You see, that's why God talks about love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. You know what he said? That's the thing that knows your very being. That's your innermost passions. That's your innermost affections. That's the thing that has connection to your very soul. That's the thing that lets you know whether you're saved or not, is that heart inside of you. the origination of bitterness. It comes from the heart. You see, our heart is very wicked. You remember the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5? It said the man, the imagination of his heart was wicked and evil continually. You see, that's why God destroyed this thing with a flood, because man's heart was wicked. Don't follow your heart. See, this thing within our heart is what hatches out our bitter thoughts. Brother Mike was talking about this Wednesday night. They used to think that the things that they took in their mouth is what defiled them. Let me tell you what defiles is the thing that comes out of your mouth. And let me tell you where it comes from. It comes from your innermost being. It comes from the very heart of you. And if you're eat up with bitterness, you know what will come out of you? You may not see it at first, but I tell you what will end up happening. It will eventually come out of you. It will reveal itself. That lady that I once was serving God, that I knew, and I thought she was the godliest saint that I ever knew. She was serving God there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every time they had a fellowship, she was there, and I thought she was serving God. But let me tell you, a little root of bitterness got inside of her, and it ate her alive. And I watched her go down because of it. Be careful with this thing of bitterness. It's an origination of bitterness. Not only you see the origination of bitterness, you'll see the observation of bitterness. The observation of bitterness. Let me tell you what the root of bitterness is. It's always underground and it's easy to hide. You see, you may be here today and you say, I'm a big man and I've got this bitter thing of bitterness hid from everybody. I've got it hid from my wife. I've got it hid from my children. I've got it hid from my church. I've got it hid from my pastor. I'm doing pretty good. I got this thing hid. Let me tell you what, it may be underground, but let me tell you what it's doing. It's wrapping its cords and its roots around your heart. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to end up one day squeezing all the very life out of you. You see, we have to be careful with this thing of bitterness, because it'll wrap its cords around your heart to where you can't even know what to do or when to do it anymore. People eat up with bitterness. You see, the root clenches the heart and it squeezes all the good out of it. You see, this thing of bitterness will take today's sunshine and pull clouds over it. Bitterness. You say, what is the characteristics of a bitter person? I looked this up. I said, well, how do you spot one? How do you spot one? And I thought about this. I need to go look in the mirror and see if I got anything. But this is what they said. This is what they said, how to spot it. And I'm just telling you what I read from somebody else. It said the person is very sensitive. And that just about covers all of us. We're all a little sensitive about everything. Not only that, has little or no gratitude, will harshly criticize or vainly flatter, they hold grudges, and they have mood swings. And I said, Lord, that just about covers everybody I know, including myself. But let me tell you this, the root of bitterness will come out in some form or some fashion. It may be growing up inside of you right now, and you may not even know it. But let me tell you, it'll eventually come out. That root of bitterness will get up underneath that ground. And let me tell you what, it's easily hid from everybody around you, but it'll manifest itself one day. The root of bitterness, the observation of it. Not only do you see the root of bitterness, but I want you to know the fruit of bitterness. You see, bitterness will also hatch out things inside of us that only it can reveal to us. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 26. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 26. You see, bitterness will affect you emotionally. It'll affect you physically. It'll affect you spiritually. It affects all aspects of your life. You say, why would you even teach this? Because I think there may be somebody here this morning struggling with bitterness. And even myself, if we all told the truth, there's been a time in our life that we've been bitter about something. And I found myself a couple of weeks ago, Lord, if there's anything in me, rid me of it. Take it out of me. I don't want it. And I think we need to search ourselves out. He said this in Ephesians 4 and 26. He says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Then look what it says in verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Then in verse 31, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You say, what do those words mean? You see, bitterness is always progression. You see, bitterness will take you not only to bitterness, it'll take you to wrath. And not only it won't stop there, it'll take you to anger. And it'll take you, not only it won't stop there, it'll take you to clamor. And then it'll take you to evil speaking, that gossip that comes out that Brother Mike was talking about Wednesday night, the very thing that proceedeth out. You see, our mouth has power to build, but it also has the power to destroy. And if we're not careful, we'll destroy the ones we love. And I'll tell you where it starts at. It starts in the heart. And it becomes and then that bitterness gets around our heart, and then the fruit comes out of our heart. But it's not fruit of righteousness. It becomes fruit of ungodliness. You see, it says, wrath is to act upon with fierceness. Anger, a violent passion of the mind, excited by real or supposed injury. Clamor is an outcry. Evil speaking is gossip. And it says, put it away with all malice. That means a disposition to injure others without a cause, from mere personal gratification or from a spirit of revenge. You see, bitterness will cause you to get revenge on people that God told you never to get revenge on. You see, there's people today that said, I've been hurt and I'm going to get revenge on that person. And I'm just waiting for the right time and the right moment. You see, that's the way I grew up in school. If somebody hit me, it was time for revenge. I just picked the time. You know, I said, after school. You know, that's what this thing of bitterness will do. It'll take things out of God's hands and put it in your hands. And let me tell you what we'll do. We'll end up messing it up. You see, God has a right time for everything. And it's up to us if we obey the time. Bitterness will make you take that time and take it into your own hands and mess it up very seriously to where you cannot undo it. And it began to destroy your life. The observation of bitterness. And the last thing I want to touch this morning, you'll see the origination of bitterness. You'll see the observation of bitterness. But I want to close with this thought right here. The obligation of bitterness. Look in verse 14 back in our text in Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 12 and verse number 14. Look what he said. And I don't know if Paul was the writer of Hebrews. I think he was. But nobody really attributed it to him. But I want you, Paul always knew what to say and when to say it. I want you to see what he said in verse 14. He said this, follow peace with all men and holiness. For without, no man shall see the Lord. And he knew exactly where to insert that, didn't he? If you look on there, it's followed by a colon in that verse. That means those two verses are connected. If you'll read that very carefully, those two verses are connected. It said, follow peace with all men and holiness. Without, no man shall see the Lord. Colon. That means they're connected. You need to read what that means. Those two verses go together and should be read together. And he said this, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Those two verses are connected. You know how you're going to follow peace with all men? You're going to have to examine yourself about this thing of bitterness. There's an obligation that we have. Remember what I said earlier? There's things I do because I'm a Christian. And one of those things, if I've done somebody wrong and I'm stuck in bitterness, I need to make those things right. And I'm obligated to do that because I am a Christian. Because God instructs me to do that. I want you to see, first of all, we say, how do I know if I am bitter? I want to say this, let God reveal it to you. The psalmist David said this in Psalm chapter number 139 and verse number 23. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Let me tell you what, God can reveal that thing to you. You know how He does it? He does it through His Word. He does it through prayer. You say, I'm not here. I'm doing pretty good this morning. I don't have any thoughts of bitterness. Let me tell you what, get in there and search that thing out and see if there be anything in you. You may not know something that's inside of you, some hurt that you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, down the road is now hurting you more than it ever has. Let God reveal it to you. Not only did I say let God reveal it to you, let grace remove it. Let grace remove it. He said that in verse number 15, any man fail of the grace of God. That word fail doesn't mean you can lose your salvation, but it means to fail spiritually. Let me tell you what that means. It means that if you let this thing of bitterness spring up in you and trouble you and defile everybody around you, it's because you let it. And you fail spiritually because you let it affect everybody that was around you. Let grace remove that thing from you. And lastly, I'll say this, let good replace it. Let good replace it. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4, Paul said this. He said, be careful for no thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here it is, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this is the verse he gave me for this. So how am I going to keep bitterness out of my life? How am I going to do these things? You say, Sunday school teacher, guess what? You don't know how bad I've been hurt. And I don't. And you don't know how bad I've been hurt. And everybody in this building has a cause to be bitter this morning. This is the verse he gave me this morning. He said this, and he said this in Philippians 4 and verse number 8, right after that verse I just read. He said this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, you know when I begin to get bitter is when I don't think on the things of God. I begin to think of things that affected me personally. And I began to wrap those things around me and they began to destroy me. Think on these things, the virtue, praise, the things of God, your church, the things that God has done for you. Think on those things. You see, people have been hurt, and they've been hurt all down through the ages. If you read in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, where many were sawn asunder. They walked around in sheepskins and goatskins. You know, these people had a reason to be bitter, but they didn't do it. They didn't let that bitterness affect them. They were persecuted beyond all measure. Things we had known nothing about. Things that would have caused us to get out of the race. They stayed in because they were not bitter. And I'll leave you with one last story this morning. There was a man that was on his deathbed, and they called a pastor aside. He was a man that was troubled, and nobody liked him. He'd been bitter all his life. He lived a hard life. He was sullen, and this is what he lived in a little shack on the edge of town. And when he went into town, he made it very clear he didn't want to speak to anyone. He'd pass people in a grocery store, and he'd make sure he went down the different aisle. Nobody was on. And the people always wondered about this man. They said, "I wonder what's affected this man. I wonder why he's so bitter." And as he lay on the deathbed, they called the pastor in. And the guy didn't even want the pastor to come see him. He didn't want anybody there with him. He was all alone because he was been so bitter all of his life. As he laid there on the deathbed, this is what he said. He said to the pastor, he said, "I've gone over in my mind every morning, every night. I've cursed a man 100 times a day for something that happened to me when I was a kid. Every time he went to bed at night, he'd see that man. When he went through the day, he'd see that man. When he laid down on his bed at night, he'd see that man." And you know what he told the pastor as he lay there dying, gasping for breath? He said this. He said, "I see now that my bitterness has eaten out my soul. My hate has hurt nobody but myself. But God knows that it has turned my life into a literal hell. Because he let the root of bitterness get inside of me, get inside of him and destroy him." You'll see, this thing of bitterness starts out small, but it spreads easily. You'll see the origination of bitterness comes from the heart. The observation of bitterness that goes underground, there's roots that you cannot see. And the last thing, the obligation is, we ought not be bitter. God has given us so much thing better. And it does not have to hold you. It does not have to touch you. And let me tell you what, he's given us a way out. I thank you for your attention this morning. You're dismissed.